The next matter on the agenda is Directive 10, Section L, Special Rules When the Commission Has Fewer Than Four Members. So I asked to put this on the agenda and in the attached memo to putting Directive 10 on the agenda, I note that I just recently asked the Office of General Counsel to prepare a memorandum, going through the different parts of subsection L. And I realize that some of the portions in Directive L are in there because it might be legally permissible for fewer than four commissioners to decide things, but it may not be, from a policy perspective, it may not be something that we all agree with. Directive 10 is already, properly enacted, and it'll take four votes to change it. But I don't want to prejudge it because I would like to wait for the Office of General Counsel's memo on it, and I'm doing a little bit of research on my own since the directive was adopted in 2007, I think it was.
The end of 2007
when the commissioners who were there then anticipated that there would be a lack of quorum. So that section was adopted. From a policy perspective, I don't necessarily agree with all the things that are in there, but I will refrain from going through all of that now and look forward to hearing from the Office of General Counsel. And there's been some intervening things that have happened since then. I think, there's a couple of court cases that we all want to take a look at. And also, I think that it's probably fair to say, I'll just speak for myself, that some of what we've done here at the commission has probably moved a little bit more into the category of the commission, making decisions on this. And one example is Directive 70, where we changed the audit process to make sure that the document coming out of the agency was a commission document. And we, audit still has an opportunity to give their say to it. But that's just one example, and there's several others through directives and policies that have happened over the past few years where the commission, I think it's fair to say, has moved toward making it more making more things a commission decision. One example is that recently the department, just in the past few days, and I think the letter may have gone out today to the Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, on whether or not our employees can participate in the census. And it doesn't violate any of the rules that permit certain people from having a second job because we're federal employees and all this kind of stuff. But the secretary from the Department of Commerce asked if it would be okay for them to ask our employees to participate in the census. And the language in the request says that the statute deems it okay as long as the agency head has reviewed it and found it to be okay. Our recent advice from the Office of General Counsel was that we should get four votes. That they told me that I couldn't say that was okay to allow our employees to participate in the census without a vote of the commissioner, which of course I was fine with, and we circulated it on tally, and my understanding is that it passed. So that's just one example of, and that's subsection L3N of Directive 10, I believe I said that properly, of a place where recent advice was that you should have four votes for that sort of thing. And so that might be something we want to consider removing from this, because obviously if four votes are required, then it shouldn't be allowed to happen without a quorum. And again, some of these are policy calls that I look forward to talking about with my colleagues and determining whether or not we should make changes to the directive. One other reason that I put it on the agenda is we had a recent report from the Congressional Research Service, Mr. Sam Garrett, I don't know if he's here today, put out a report recently, and so it made me think about this, and I'm not aware of any of us leaving imminently.
I was wondering if congratulations were in order, Madam Chair.
No, not imminently, and so I thought this might be a good place for us to just plan ahead. It's always good to have a contingency plan, just like you guys did when you did this back in the day. And so I thought it would be useful to talk about it and do it in a public way. So.
I might comment that there was some certainty about it at that point. You may recall it was the end of our for me, and the reason the number went down was because we were recess appointees, And so there was really no discretion there.
Yeah, gotcha.
I remember it very well.
I think you're right. There's not that same certainty this time, but nevertheless, I thought it was good to have the discussion. In the event that it happens, we'll be more prepared. Any comments, Madam Vice Chair?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good to know. We were curious. The changes to this directive from 2007 were, of course, made with the full advice of the Office of General Counsel. They were fully vetted by the Office of General Counsel. If anything, commissioners at the time, I think, narrowed the range of activities that at the time it was thought that we could have put on the list. We wanted to be fairly conservative. It was adopted by a unanimous vote, obviously bipartisan, of all five commissioners who were then on board, and was indeed done in December of 2007 with some degree of trepidation about what was going to happen come January of that year, when it turned out there were only two of us left standing. And the goal was to make sure that the staff would have appropriate direction, and that the database would stay current, and that to the extent that the agency could function, obviously couldn't make any policy decisions or anything that requires four votes under the statute, but to the extent that we could keep the agency operational, at least at the staff level, that would be a good thing. And like, I think, every other directive, it was adopted by commissioners after internal discussion. I don't believe we've ever put a directive out. It's an internal directives guide our internal policies and practices. I don't think we've ever put a directive out for public comment. I'm not sure that would be a useful thing to do, and I'm certainly not committing to approving putting it out for public comment or going through a more of a rulemaking style procedure on this. If you want to ask the Office of General Counsel for a memo, you're of course welcome to do so. Any commissioner is. I'll be interested in reading it, but I'm just not sure where it goes from there.
I think I don't know why we would treat this differently and not want comment from the public on this. I wasn't really envisioning a formal NPRM style type of thing, but to the extent people have comments about it, I'm sure that I for one would be more than interested in hearing it. Obviously, if the commission lacks a quorum and operates for any amount of time, it affects the public, and the public still, you know, has to comply with the laws and all the rest of it. So they seem like the perfect type of people to hear from. I know from my perspective, you know, I obviously wasn't on the commission when this happened, and I'll just tell you, people were not happy with a lot of the things that happened when there was a lack of quorum, and I still hear about it from certain members of the public. They didn't think it appropriate for two commissioners to hold a meeting, and they didn't think it appropriate for certain staff to be hired. And there were a lot of things that people were disappointed about. I know that there were some things in here that Commissioner Mason just could have done and decided not to. You know, there were certain things where he had said, you know, I think it appropriate to wait for the new commissioners to come in. And I appreciated it. And maybe you agreed with him. I don't know. And I appreciate that. I think that was the right call. I know that, you know, for example, just on subsection A, L3A campaign guides. As the vice chair knows, we've had a lot of disagreement on some of the language, you know, specifically about court cases and other things that have held up certain revisions to campaign guides. And I don't think that would be a proper thing to do without a lack of quorum, just as a policy matter. Even if the Office of General Counsel, I anticipate they probably will say that's okay to do. Regardless of that, those are the kinds of things that, you know, as you know, it takes a lot of time and energy to agree on language that we can all agree on. And I don't think it makes sense to, you know, as soon as there's a lack of quorum, all of a sudden campaign guides are going out, people are being hired, you know, that sort of thing. So I'd like to look at it, you know, with that in mind, and I'm happy to hear any comments from members of the public, and if they'd like to comment, you know, even now, there's nothing that stops people from sending an email to the commission just you know, giving us their thoughts. I think that would be very useful. Any other comments? Okay.